Welcome to our sermon series entitled The Core. The Bible can be an overwhelmingly long book, but in this sermon series we will examine the five most important books in the Old Testament and the five most important books in the New Testament. Clear thinking about these 10 books will make it easier for you to understand the entire Bible. Today's sermon title, The Superiority of Christ. Open your Bible to the book of Hebrews, and let's begin.
Dear Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that you are supreme. But sometimes we get confused. And what we believe in theory, we don't practice in our lives. So I pray that from the book of Hebrews, we could be convinced one more time of the superiority of Jesus Christ to everyone and everything. In Christ's name, amen. I read an article this week that Elon Musk has invented a brain plug. He calls it Neuralink. He's got the machine. This is the machine they want to put it in your head with. So basically, this is a plug that they put into your head. And it has wires that go down into your brain, and it can send messages into your brain and receive messages from your brain. And it has applications like, if you're blind because your optic nerve is ruined, this could you could put a camera on this thing and you could see again. And I'm thinking, all right. But that's not really his primary goal. His primary goal is to link your little brain plug with your cell phone. And so now when your phone rings, you don't have to answer it. You just think, hello. All right. I don't want my wife hearing every thought I think when we're on the phone. Hey, babe. I wonder how long this is going to last. Brothers, I do not want my wife to hear every thought I think. You think you have no privacy now? Wait till they're recording every thought that goes through your head. This makes 1984 look like a child's picnic. This isn't something they're working on. They could do this right now. I hope you agree with me. Some science is better than other science. Not all science is equal. The science that the doctor used to fix my neck, that's good science. The science that you want to put a plug in my brain and hear every thought I'm thinking, that's diabolical. Not all science is equal. Some is good, some is bad. Tragically, we kind of live in a culture where nothing is really good and nothing is really bad. It's just different. Okay. Putting a plug in my head and listening to every thought, that's not different, that's bad. Right? There is a difference between good and bad. And the same thing is true in religion. There is good religion and there's bad religion. Not everything that is religious is good. And there's a whole book written in the New Testament to make an argument of why Jesus Christ is superior to all these other religious ideas. So today, when I believe that Jesus Christ is superior to every other religion, I didn't invent that. I got that out of the book that we say is the book that guides us, the Bible. The book of Hebrews is an argument, an extended argument, that Jesus Christ is better than other religions. I'm not narrow-minded. I'm not a hater. I'm not a phobic. I'm a Christian. Christians have always believed that Christ is superior to other religions. That doesn't mean I want to close other churches, other religions down. Doesn't mean I want to say mean things about them. But it does mean core to my Christianity is the belief that Jesus Christ is superior to every other religious leader. And I didn't invent it. I got it out of the Bible. So the book of Hebrews was probably written about 64 AD. We think that because in Hebrews 12, verse 4, it says, "In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood." So it sounds like the book was written before there was a bunch of martyrs, and we know in 65, Nero killed a whole bunch of Christians. So it sounds like the book needed to be written before 64. There's a big debate about who wrote the book. And this is the idea that I follow. The arguments in the book sound like Paul. The problem is the grammar and the vocabulary isn't the grammar and the vocabulary that is typical of the other Pauline books. In fact, it's some of the best grammar in the New Testament. I can make this easy. If you have an NIV Bible, the grammar and the vocabulary is for a, say, junior high level reading. It's written with vocabulary and grammar that would be consistent with a junior high level. If you have an English Standard Version Bible, the grammar and the literature, the grammar and the vocabulary in that is more at the high school level. So you see what I'm saying? There are different levels of a grammar and vocabulary. Well, the grammar and the vocabulary in Hebrews is college level. It's equivalent to what Luke wrote in his gospel and in the book of Acts. So there is a theory that Luke listened to Paul make these arguments in all the synagogues across the Roman Empire. And he collected them and put them into the book of Hebrews. And it sounds right to me. The grammar and the literature, the grammar and the vocabulary, and the writing style is very close to Luke's. And it would fit. Luke wrote the gospel, he wrote the book of Acts, and he said, "I want to tell you more about what Paul actually taught," and he gives us the arguments for the superiority of Christ in the book of Hebrews. He also says at the end, he sends a greeting to his brother Timothy. Timothy was Greek also, a Greek father and a Jewish mother. Luke was Greek. And it's easy to believe that they had a close relationship as they were both followers of Paul. But it could be somebody altogether different. We really don't know who wrote it. Let's look at the book of Hebrews together. I can't give you all the arguments because every chapter is an argument for the superiority of Christ. So I've chosen some. Let's start at Hebrews 1:1. "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Jesus Christ is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. All right, now let me pick this apart. This is an argument that says this is why Jesus Christ is superior to other religions. And the first thing he says is he is superior because he is the creator and the leaders of other religions aren't. Again, I'm not going to argue with you about how he created, but I refuse to let go of the idea that all this began with a great idea in the mind of God. The second thing about Christ, he is the radiance of his glory. Let's take this apart. Glory, the essential dignity of God. God has essential dignity. There's just something awesome about who he is. But that essential dignity isn't visible to us until Jesus Christ comes, and in Christ, I see the essential dignity of God. If you read the Gospels, you read the story of Christ who lived this incredibly dignified life. Where is he ever doing anything that's shameful? Find him in one moment where he loses his dignity. He never does. Christ is superior because he lived a life just like you and I in a world that was broken like our world, but he maintained the essential dignity of God. People see the dignity of God in Jesus Christ. He's the exact imprint of his nature. I want to translate this closer. He is the character of God's nature. God's nature is invisible. In Christ, I see God's character. I see the love of God. I see the compassion of God. People are hungry, Christ feeds them. It's like our church. People are hungry, we feed them. Thank you so much for your donations for Christmas. Hundreds of families are going to eat because we're following Christ's example, and when people are hungry, we feed them. Church, thank you. He upholds the universe. All right. He's also superior because he made purification for sin. All right, now think about this with me. Have you come to the realization that you're never going to really get it perfectly right? I can't tell you what stupid thing I'm going to do tomorrow, but I'll figure it out tomorrow. Church? I can't tell you how I'm going to mess up next Wednesday, but I'll figure out a way. I got it. I'm never going to get this perfectly right. I'm not capable of. Okay, but that doesn't change the fact that someday I got to stand up before God messed up. And I don't think that I don't want to do that. And so Christ is superior to me because he's my only hope for purifying the sin that makes me unacceptable to God. You get it? He's superior because he's the only one who can meet every one of us where we're broken and messed up, and he can purify in us what is unacceptable to God. And it makes him superior. Other religious leaders can teach you good ideas, but they can't purify you from your sin. And not only did he purify from sin, but he sits at the right hand of majesty on high. If you went to heaven today and you saw the throne room of God, Allah would not be on the throne. Jesus Christ would be. Confucius would not be on the throne. Jesus Christ would be. All these cult leaders, they wouldn't be on the throne. Jesus Christ would be. He is superior because all of these other people, all of these other leaders made claims that eternity will prove are not true. And today, this very moment, seated on the throne of majesty is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it makes him superior to all other religious leaders. And so I want to ask you, is Christ superior to you? I don't mean in theory, I mean in practice. I'll throw out a couple examples. People sometimes say to me, you know, Doc, I just can't serve at church because I have to work. Okay. Everybody works. Right? Have you ever asked yourself, is your job that you're given 50 hours a week to, 60 hours a week to, has it become superior to Jesus Christ? Christ has to take a second place to your job. Church? How about this one? Christmas Sunday's not far away. Every Christmas, people say to me, I won't be here. My family's coming. Okay, let's see if I can understand this. It's Christ's birthday, and you want to celebrate it with your family, but you just don't want to do it with Christ at his house. Let me see if I get this right. My family and I want to celebrate Christ's birthday together, but we don't want to do it at Christ's house. Some of my family, just they aren't comfortable. They like the birthday cake and the ice cream, but they don't want to be around Jesus. Do you feel the incongruity there, church? And it's really, really bad when Sunday falls on Christmas. When Christmas falls on Sunday, then the troops thin out. Because listen, the celebration is more important than the person we're celebrating. Christ becomes inferior to the celebration. Okay, are you feeling the edges of this with me? It's one thing to say Christ is superior to me. It's another thing for my life to show that he really is superior. Church? In chapter 4, there's another argument. And this argument is based on the priesthood. In a bunch of religions, there is a priesthood. I'm not a priest. I'm barely a pastor. I call myself the leader of this church. We have good pastors here who do a much better job at pastoring. But it was common, and it still is common, to have this idea of a priesthood. And the priesthood is based on this idea that there has to be somebody who goes between you and God. And in the Jewish religion, there was a high priest. And he was the most holy person on earth. Once every year, this high priest would kill a bull. They would capture blood in this golden bowl, and the priest would walk through the holy place. They would open the curtain, and he would go into the Holy of Holies. And you know, the golden box was there. The one that Indiana Jones found and they stored in the depot somewhere in America. And the priest would take blood from that bowl and he would sprinkle it on top of that golden box. It was a symbol of, the top of the box was called the mercy seat. And sprinkling blood on that the top of that box was a symbol of our dependence on the mercy of God. So, Hebrews 4 picks up this idea of the high priesthood and says this. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's look at this. The high priest once a year passed into the most holy place. But this argument says Christ is greater than that because he didn't pass through the holy place. He passed into the heavens. He didn't sprinkle blood every year on the golden box. He sprinkled blood once and forever in the eternal presence of God to find mercy for everyone who calls on his name. He is a superior high priest. He's not only superior because he passed into the heavens, he's superior because he's the Son of God. And this is the one I like. He's superior because he sympathizes with our weakness. If you look at a reconstruction of ancient Jerusalem, there are two entrances to the temple on the west wall. One is called Wilson's Bridge, and the other one is called Robinson's Staircase. Wilson's Bridge was built for the priest, and it goes from the temple through the neighborhoods and to the neighborhood where the priest lived. And they built it because the priest didn't want to run into riffraff like you and I when they were going to church. I'm not kidding you. It's the truth. They built a bridge that the priest could walk on to get to church so they wouldn't have to run into losers like us. We had to go in the back door. It's called the triple gate. We had to go in the back door. They went in the front door. They became elitist. They became arrogant. They had no sympathy for the life of the common man. And everyone knew it. And the argument here is, Christ is not a priest like you're used to. He's not a priest like you're used to. He's different. He sympathizes with you. I don't know about you, but this is what I need to hear. That when I mess up and I need God most, he sympathizes with me. Church. Because here's what I found about a lot of religion. They'll kick you when you're down. You make a mistake, they can't wait to tell everybody what a loser you are. Church. We had a lady who comes to this church, hadn't taken the Lord's Supper in 16 years because somebody told her she wasn't worthy to take the Lord's Supper anymore. Absolutely no sympathy. I still remember the night she sat right over here in this section right here, crying so hard she just trembled. First time she took the Lord's Supper in 16 years because somebody told her, you're not good enough. Church, that's not Christ. Christ is superior because he is sympathetic with us. Do you get it? When you need him the most, he sympathizes with you. He's not the one who's going to show up and kick you when you're down. He's not the one who's going to pile on. He's not the one who says, I knew you were a loser all along. He's going to sympathize with you. Why? Because he understands our weakness. And because he was tempted himself, but remained sinless. Church, Christ is superior because he has a heart that sympathizes with us. He's not the driver of a movement. He's not the sword behind a cause. He is a sympathetic priest who says, I know your life is hard, and I know you have weaknesses, and I'm here for you. How am I supposed to relate to Christ as superior high priest? Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Two things. I need to have confidence that when I need grace, God is going to be gracious to me. When I need to be treated better than what I deserve, I need confidence that Christ wants to do that. I need confidence that when I need help, Christ wants to help me. I sometimes hear myself saying, Dear God, I'm sorry I'm here again asking for help, but I really need help. All right. That's the opposite of what this is. God says, Don't apologize to me for asking for help. I want to help you. Church. Now let me ask you a question. Is Christ superior to you in this way? When you need to be treated better than what you deserve, do you feel drawn to Christ or do you want to hide from him because you know you haven't lived up to who you said you'd be? When you need help, do you go to him first or last? Some of you say, I tried everything and it didn't work, so I'm praying. Pray first. He is superior. He's got better ideas. He's more loving. He's more gentle. He's more sympathetic. He's more compassionate. Pray first. Let's jump to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 follows Hebrews 11, where it tells us about all these wonderful people in the Old Testament who had faith. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice. By faith, Noah built a boat. By faith, Abraham left the Ur of Chaldees. All right. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily clings to us. Look around at all these beautiful people. Everyone in this room has a sin that clings to them. We just have a hard time shaking it off. Look at me. I have sins that cling to me. And I say every day, Dear God, help me to walk in the light as you are in the light. Help me to be a good man today. Help me to treat people well. Church? But let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Why is Christ superior? Because he is the originator and the completer of your faith. All right. What does that mean? All right. There was never a time in my life that I wasn't a Christian. My parents didn't let me not be a Christian. We went to church. I got a paper in my office about being enrolled in the church's nursery when I was a baby. And when I say we went to church, we went to church. Two times every Sunday morning. Sunday night. Wednesday night. We went to church more than God, I'm sure of it. All right. So there was never a time in my life that I didn't believe in Jesus. Okay, that doesn't mean that I didn't need faith created in me. Because I grew up saturated in religion didn't mean that I had faith in Christ. Do you get this? You can grow up saturated. Some of the meanest people I ever met go to church every Sunday. They're mean. So what is this argument? This argument is, at some point in your life, it made sense to you to trust God in a way that was greater than just your religious activity. Right? At some point in your life, it made sense to you to say to God, I trust you to be my Savior. All right. Where did that faith come from? You didn't trump that up yourself. Christ gave that to you. The day that it made sense to me to give my life to Christ, that wasn't something that I trumped up inside of myself. That wasn't me absorbing the culture around me. It was a holy moment when Christ gave me the faith to believe in Him. Church, if you have faith, you didn't trump it up yourself. Christ originated it in you. He is the starter of everything good in your soul. And because of that, He is superior to every other religious leader. But there's nothing more common than fast start and no finish. We all know people who are never going to finish the job. Huh? Christ isn't one of them. Listen to Christ. He says, not only did I get it started, but I'm going to kill myself to finish it. You get it? He's not going to leave you unfinished. He's not going to leave you incomplete. He's not going to leave you as a half-done job. A half-baked cookie. An undercooked chicken. Ooh, that gave me cold chills. Listen, church, listen. He is superior because He says, I'm going to start something good in you, and I'm not going to quit until I get it done. He who has begun the good work in you will complete it at the day of Christ. He is superior because no matter what choices you make and what twists and turns you go down, He's still going to keep showing up in your life and say, we've got work to do together. I'm not done with you yet. What did it cost Him to be the originator and the completer of our faith? The cross. The cross. Listen, He despised it all. Don't think Jesus Christ was some kind of broken person who kind of sadly enjoyed the whole thing. He despised it. He despised it. He despised the kangaroo court. He despised the insults of the religious leaders. He despised Pilate's weakness. He despised being beat. He despised the shame and the indignity. He despised the ignominy of the cross. He despised all of it. But he loved you more than he despised that. He cared for you being everything he wants you to be more than he cared about his own dignity on the cross, church. And to me, that makes him superior. One more. Could we do one more? I'll do it quickly. Hebrews 13. I used to say this blessing at the end of the church. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good work, that you may do his will, working in us what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Christ is superior because he is the God of peace. Let me run this past you. Peace didn't mean as much to me when I was a younger man. I could take it or leave it. I was running headfirst at life, and peace wasn't an issue. But the older I get, the more I appreciate it. Huh? Little peace. I don't watch TV where people are yelling at each other. I'm done with it. ESPN is getting as bad as cable news. Yell, 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 yell. Calm down. I had a hard day. I don't want to listen to you yell at each other. No amens? And more than external peace, I value internal peace, where I'm not yelling at myself on the inside. Oh, you should have done this. Oh, you should have said this. Oh, you shouldn't have said that. How are you going to solve this problem? Anybody? I like waking up at night and thinking beautiful things, not thinking, all right, I'm going to do this and I'm going to have this and hopefully it'll solve this problem. Anyone? Christ is superior to me because he's the source of real peace in my life. This is what Jesus said. Peace I give to you. My peace is not like the imitation peace that you receive in the world. Do not let your heart be troubled. Huh? Christ is superior to me because he is a source of peace. I can quiet myself and I can say to Christ, I'm looking for peace and holy rest. I'm looking for the peace that passes understanding to guard my heart and mind. He is superior to me. He's superior to me because he's a good shepherd, and I don't have to figure it out all myself. He's going to lead me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. He's superior to me because he's equipping me to be my best self. He's superior to me because he's the one who's going to show me how to do God's will. He's superior to me because he's going to work in me things that I could not do myself. Church? And now everybody has to decide what this means. Elon Musk is going to put plugs in people's head. There are people who will do it. I saw some of you, your eyes got big. You see yourself playing video games and nobody knows it. Look, it's a no-brainer for me. My head's messed up enough. You're not putting a plug in it. I don't want wires in my head hooked up to my cell phone. I don't even want a cell phone anymore. It's easy for me to say, that's not what I want. That's not the way I want to live my life. Easy. Now I want to ask you, Have you made up your mind that you really want to live your life under the superiority of Jesus Christ? Or, do you really want to keep the trump card for yourself? That you stay superior and you get to veto Christ in your life. Christ, I want your peace. I'll let you be superior there, but I don't want you telling me how to treat people at work on Monday morning. I'm not going to let you be superior there. I'm going to let you be superior when it comes to teaching me to be a better person. But I'm not going to let you be superior when it comes to how I use my time. Do you see what I'm saying? Every person in this room can theoretically say Christ has proven himself to be superior, but it doesn't matter unless Monday morning you get up and you say to Christ, you're in charge. I'm working with you today. Everything I have to do today, everything that's on my list, everything that's on my schedule, I want to do it with you. I'm not putting myself above you in everything I have to do today. I'm putting myself under your leadership. And that's why the book of Hebrews is one of the most important books in the New Testament. Our dear Heavenly Father, I recognize that in my mind, I hold Christ to be superior. But often in my daily activity, I forget who's in charge. I forget who's really supposed to call the shots. I forget that I've made promises you to live in a certain way and treat people in a certain way. And I pray for myself and everyone who's here this morning, I pray that we would have a new sense in our daily lives of the superiority of Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.